If you're not sure what the theme is that we're focusing on this morning, where have you been? And as Barbara spoke earlier in the service, God's concern with hardened hearts is not a concern that Jesus began to express of God's heart. It is a concern he's had throughout history. And the important thing to note as we look at this passage together today is that the concern that he's voicing in the passage of focus is not, first of all, a concern for the hardened hearts of the crowd. It's not a concern for the hardened heart of Herod. It's not a concern for the hardened hearts of the Pharisees and teachers of the law. It's a concern for his disciples. It's a concern for those who have already begun to follow him. What I want to do this morning is to walk you through a process whereby we might together understand what Jesus meant when he said to his disciples, "Are your hearts hardened? Do you still not understand?" Some of you who have journeyed with this community for a while know that we have introduced a process of individual and small group study called manuscript study. Very simple, while we're learning different ways of doing that, very simply, it's where on your own or with others, you take some time, you print off a passage of scripture, take some time to observe what it says, and identify questions you have from that passage. And then if you're in a small group, you voice those questions together. And then together, you look at how the passage itself and its larger setting in Scripture answers those questions. So what I want to do this morning is not to break us into small groups and start doing that together, because we would need at least 2 to 3 hours to do that well. What I want to do is to begin the process of thought around that question, what does Jesus mean by their hardness of heart, and what does he mean when he says, "Do you still not understand?" I want to first have you read the passage with me. You listen while I read. So it's important that you have a Bible. I've always said, bring a Bible in your own heart language. We try to stay with one passage of focus. So if your first language is Spanish or Russian or Kyrgyz or German, you could bring your own Bible and you'll be able to follow. That might even be helpful in terms of getting at the different meanings of words. So we'll read it. I will quickly make some additional observations that help us understand more fully what's going on in this passage. Then what I want to do is to imagine that I am part of a small group, and that we're together looking at that question, and I want to introduce 7 different angles, not answers to the question, but angles to keep in mind as we try to answer that question. I won't take long on that. Now, if we were doing this together, we'd probably end up with 25 angles, so I'm not trying to be exhaustive, but I do want to get in the conclusion to what I think Jesus meant by those questions of his disciples. And I hope it will be very practical and very helpful in your walk with Jesus, whether you're just beginning to understand who Jesus is or if you have followed him for many years. So turn with me to Mark chapter 8, where we'll look at the first 21 verses of Mark chapter 8. And again, I'll just read it, and then as you keep your Bibles open, make some additional comments, and then look at it through these different angles. So it will be helpful if you keep your Bibles open as we do this together. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, and for those of you that have been with us for a while, you should be thinking, here we go again. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. if I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. And his disciples answered, and I would imagine they did so with some hesitancy, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Seven, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground, and when he had taken the seven loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up seven basketfuls of broken pieces and that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of the Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came, and again, that should bring to your mind some thoughts. Here they come again, and began to question Jesus, to test him. They asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, Why does this generation ask me for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to it. Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side of the Lake of Galilee. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They began to discuss with one another and said, it's because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see and understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? All right, very quickly, let me point out some observations that when I do so, I hope that you would be able to see these on your own. I do not want us in the service to leave you dependent on an expert, but that our services will equip you to study Scripture better on your own and with others. So notice carefully the first phrase, during those days. Now, this passage is a continuation of what we looked at last week. And if you remember last week, Jesus had gone from Capernaum 30 miles or 45 kilometers to the city of Tyre, a Gentile Greek city, and then from there he had gone 25 miles or about 38 kilometers to Sidon. Then, with his disciples, he had come all the way around to the southern part of the Sea of Galilee, to the region of the Decapolis. And that region of Decapolis, right at the south side of the Sea of Galilee, was right next to the region of Galilee, which Jesus had left and wanted to avoid, which was where Herod ruled. So in those days, is speaking about that time when he's in the Decapolis on the edge of Galilee, and a large crowd has gathered, and it says in the passage that some have come from a long distance. So it's clear that it was a mixed audience of both Jews and Gentiles. And they had been there for 3 days. Now in Matthew, and I don't want to have you turn to it, but just listen, this situation is described in greater detail. Let me read what it says. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee, left the region of Tyre and Sidon, and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet. And he healed them. Last week we looked at one of those that he had healed. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. Now, at the end of these 3 days, that as he's ministering to them and teaching them, he then says to these disciples, I have compassion for these people. And the other words that he says there. Now, the disciples, if I was one of them, would have been very hesitant to speak. Because in only a couple chapters before, some of you who were here would remember, the disciples had just come back to Jesus after being used in ministry. And Jesus invites them to come away to a place of rest. They get in the boat, they go across the sea, and they are greeted by 5,000 people. And Jesus does exactly what the disciples hoped he would not do. All day long into the evening, he teaches them. So that at the end of the day, the disciples say to Jesus, this is a remote place. Uh-oh. And it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go. So that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages to buy something to eat. And Jesus says to them, you give them something to eat. And then he says, go find out how much bread there is. So they do that, and they have the loaves, and Jesus does this great work of feeding the crowds. Now notice the difference in this setting. It's not the disciples who say, please send them away, even though it's been 3 days. Now, this was hard for the disciples, right? It had been only 1 day before, but for 3 days, as their stomachs were rumbling, and Jesus kept going on, Jesus then says to his disciples, I have compassion on them. And I want to do something. And notice what they say. But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? And notice then that Jesus doesn't say, find out how much bread there is. He says, how many loaves do you have? See, the disciples had learned something. And they had already checked. So they say instantly, 7. Now that is funny. They're learning a little bit. And so the crowd sits down. He thanks God for the food, gives it to whom to distribute? Again, the disciples. And then someone says, hey, and I got a couple of fish too. So Jesus holds up the fish, thanks God, and that gets added to the feast. And then Jesus sends them away, and they get into the boat. They get now to the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, coming from the south, the region of Dalmanutha, which is also called something else, but isn't important for us to get lost in words. He arrives on shore, and who's there to greet him? The Pharisees. They come with a question to test him. It was not a question of belief. It was a question to trap him. And he says, I'm not going to do any sign for you. Gets back in the boat, and he goes to the other side. Now that's a lot of traveling for his disciples. And in the midst of the coming and going, they forget bread. Between all of them, they only have one loaf. Oh. And they say to each other, we forgot bread. Now, in the midst of this concern, Jesus, getting in the boat, is still thinking about the Pharisees and Galilee, the region where they had been. And so he says to them, be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. What did he say? They were so busy thinking about the fact that they only had one loaf of bread. I don't know what he was talking about, but it's nothing that we should worry about. Who forgot to bring the bread? A matter of fact, one translation of the phrase, they discussed with this with one another and said, it is because we have no bread, it's equally translated in following. They discussed with one another why they had no bread. I told you to bring it. No, you didn't. He was supposed to. He promised. Aware of their discussion, so this wasn't a quiet whisper. They're getting kind of worked up about this. I already swept the floor. No. It's your turn. Jesus then asks them these series of questions, which I've already alluded to, but hear them from the vantage point of the disciple. Why are you talking about having no bread? How would you feel? And that question is asked of you when you knew what you were doing. Yeah? Do you still not see or understand? I'm not so sure. Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? Now, I don't know about you, but I would be getting smaller and smaller and smaller as he then points out two major events that they experienced. The feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. At which point he says, do you still not understand? Are we into the story? Very quickly, imagining that we're sitting at a table and we're talking about this together, and I would say to you, what are some angles that would be helpful to understand, that would be helpful to us as we try to understand what Jesus means? Let me just share seven quickly that I would bring to the table amongst the many good ones that you would bring. One angle that I would bring is, okay, Jesus is trying to help teach the disciples, and one of the things that they would remember is their calling. How Jesus called them. When he first called the disciples, he said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of others. In the version of the Bible that I have, it says, follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. A little bit later in Mark 3, Jesus goes on a mountainside, calls the 12 to him that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. And then in Mark 6, they actually begin to do that, Jesus sending them out, and they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. As I look at this story and the questions around it, one of the angles that I think would be helpful in answering the question is that it's clear that Jesus wants to involve them in his ministry to others with authority. That Jesus wants to involve them in his ministry with authority. That doesn't answer the question, but it's an angle. Another angle. Remembering what has happened just before, and the fact that when they were in Tyre, a Greek woman whose little daughter was possessed with an impure spirit comes to Jesus asking for his help. And with the disciples around him, he says, let the children first eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. Because in the Jewish mind, that's what they referred to the Gentiles, especially those who would have come from this region. They're now going to this southern part with a mixed group that's around them of Gentiles and Jews. And what is that angle that would help us understand the question, do you not understand? Are your hearts still hardened? As I sit at the table, what I would like to bring to your attention is that in the account in Tyre of God's work in the life of this Gentile woman's little daughter, we read the following in Matthew 13. Let me just very quickly read it. Or in Matthew 15. Some of you are all turning to it, and I'm going to lose you. It says that a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of God, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." In my mind, another angle into understanding Jesus' questions is the fact that Jesus came for Gentiles too. And the disciples had been given authority to minister in the name of Jesus and drive out impure spirits, but with this Gentile woman, they never thought about it, because she didn't deserve it. In their minds, she didn't deserve it. So why bother? Jesus, would you just get rid of her? It's an angle into understanding why Jesus says what he says. That he was beginning to show that not one person is better than another, but all equally are in need of his grace. Third angle, very quickly. He says to them, "Look out." And then he repeats, "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod." Now, we know the partial answer to that by what he does on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee when the Pharisees ask him a question to test him. We know that part of the yeast he's talking about is their unbelief. Right? But what does yeast do when it's put in dough? It rises. He's not just talking about unbelief here. He's talking about what's going to happen when their unbelief rises. And as their unbelief rises, it is going to lead to much worse things than unbelief. It's going to lead to Jesus' death, and it's also going to lead to their own. At the end of the Gospel of Mark, and I don't have time to look at it with you this morning, he speaks to them in Mark 13. He warns them, "Watch out, watch out, watch out." And he talks about what's going to happen to them as they're placed in synagogues. And let me just give you one little excerpt. "You must be on your guard," he says. "You will be handed over to the local councils and flagged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit." So when Jesus says, "Watch out for the leaven of Herod and the Pharisees," he is speaking not simply of their unbelief. He's speaking of what is going to happen to himself and what is going to happen to them. It's an angle to remember as we look at this passage. Let me look with you then at a fourth angle, the bread. After the first feeding of the bread to the crowds, he sends the disciples in a boat. They're going across the water in a storm. Jesus walks, planning to walk by them. They think he's a ghost. He gets into the boat and says, "Why are you so afraid?" And it says there that they did not understand because their hearts were hardened. What is there in this bread that they don't understand? Once again, after feeding the 4,000, they become preoccupied about the fact that they only have one loaf. What didn't they understand about Jesus, the bread of life? It's another angle as we consider this question. But there's three more very quickly that I want you to note. The fifth angle, as we try and understand what he's saying, it's in one word, fear. In one word, it's fear. In the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of John Mark, don't turn to it, in chapter 14, when Jesus is arrested, it gives a little addition. Everyone flees, and it says that there was a man with a linen cloth who flees. And everyone believes that that was a self-description by John Mark of himself. That when everyone else ran because of fear, so did he. As I've said to you in past weeks, the Gospel of Mark, many believe, is a compilation of the witness of Peter to Jesus. And if you know anything about Peter's life, you know that he was often afraid. And most people believe that this Gospel was written for believers that were being persecuted in Rome at a time of intense persecution. And what would they have faced? Fear. As we think of Jesus' questions, do you still not understand? Are your hearts still hardened? We need to remember fear. One of you shared with me the very helpful comment that the end of the Gospel of Mark, apart from an addition that most people believe weren't part of the original manuscripts, it says that the women go to the tomb. They're told that Jesus has raised, and they leave, and they don't say anything because they were. So that grand Gospel of Mark ends not with a resurrection, but with fear. It's an angle into understanding what Jesus is saying. A sixth angle, again, very quickly. When Mark begins his gospel, he says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus. Luke, in his gospel, which is Luke and Acts, does the same thing. Because in the book of Acts, Luke says, writing to Theophilus, he says, what I began to teach you about what Jesus has done and say. In other words, the beginning of the gospel is Jesus. The end of the gospel is when he comes again, and we are part of it still. It's an angle as we understand what Jesus was saying. And the final angle is what we will see next week as we finish the first half of this series. What Jesus says to the crowds about what it means to be a disciple. He's been working hard on his disciples, but he says very clear to the crowds, if you want to be my disciple, this isn't a closed group, this isn't a holy huddle, this isn't an exclusive club. If you want to be my disciple, here's what you have to do. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That's it. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. And follow me. With all these angles and with these observations, wouldn't it be fun if we could now talk together about what did he mean by the question? Are your hearts hardened? Do you still not understand? You need to know that this week I panicked as I was thinking about what I would say at this moment in time. Because I fell into my childhood behavior of wanting to get the right answer. Teacher, I got the answer. The answer that will help God's people forevermore. And then I began to realize these different angles. And let me explain to you from my own life what began to happen, because you'll see very clearly the answer to these questions that I want to bring to you. I began this week to look at people that I am trying to be involved in. And I thought of his words, "Follow me and I will make you a fisher of others," that were to minister in his name with his authority. And often I don't understand how to do that. I don't even understand how to soften the hearts of hard people that I work with. As the week went on, I saw the way different people treat one another. And the fact that no matter how hard we try, one person always is trying to show that they're better than another. Let alone one ethnic group thinking they're better than another, or one nation. And I thought of Jesus' words to his disciples and his demonstration that one person is not better than another, but that he has shown compassion on the Gentiles too. And I realize I don't understand that fully. And I certainly don't practice it fully. So in that situation, if Jesus would say to me, "Tim, is your heart still hardened? Do you still not understand?" No. And then I thought of the third angle. Saturday I went to a gathering called the History of the Church in Central Asia, and the speaker was saying that the dominant thing in history for the church, including Central Asia, is persecution. And I thought of the angle of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod. And I thought, I don't want persecution. So if Jesus would say to me, "Tim, is your heart still hard in this area? Do you still not understand?" No. And then we get to the fourth angle, the meaning of bread. And as I thought and saw these disciples fighting in the boat about who forgot the bread, I thought about the stupid things I worried about this week. And I could hear his voice saying to me, "Tim, why are you talking about the bread? Why are you thinking about the bread? Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not understand that I am the bread of life? I can feed the 5,000, I can feed the 4,000, and I can deal with this situation in your life and all the rest. Will you start caring about all the rest?" So, when he asks, "Is your heart hard? Do you still not understand?" Yes, it's hard. No, I don't understand. I'm getting stronger as the week's going on. The fifth angle, fear. Well, that one is never applied to my life, so we'll skip that one. It gets even worse after I preach about it. The sixth one. We're at the beginning of the gospel, not the end. We're at the beginning of the gospel, not the end. Now, we're further than they were, but it's not the end. Watch out. Be alert. Stand strong. Watch out. Don't try to make your life comfortable. But deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow him. And the final angle, as I already alluded to, is what I just said. It's hard to be a disciple. Last Sunday as I walked home, I thought of how busy I was, and I wasn't thinking of my work. I was exhausted. And you know what I was exhausted about? I thought, I have never had a more demanding job of following Jesus. It is 24/7. Isn't it? It's a lot of work to follow Jesus. He keeps showing more ways in your life where you need to change. So I said that on Sunday on my way home, and then I was panicking as I didn't know the answer to his question. Here's the answer. What does it mean? Are your hearts hardened? Do you still not understand? It means what it says. And the answer is yes, and the answer is no. Is your heart hardened? Yes. Do you understand? No. Lord, don't let my heart be hardened. Lord, help me understand. Now, some of you sitting here might have a better answer. But as I came into this morning, and we came into the morning prayers, I knew I needed Jesus. In all of these angles of my life, not simply of this story. And as Jesus chipped away at the disciples, they came to that same place. Jesus, we are yours. Help us understand. And don't let our hearts be hardened.